to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up. Good morning, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily on this Saturday, September the 14th, a rare Saturday show. I didn't plan on doing the Saturday show, but with the Minka Fitzpatrick story that is, you know, that broke Friday morning, late Thursday night, that just keeps evolving here over the hours, I had to do a show, as we got to break this down from every angle and dig into it here. You know, a lot is going on. If you've been living under a rock and don't know what's going on, Minka Fitzpatrick is not happy with the Miami Dolphins, and he wants out. He doesn't want to be on the team anymore. And the Miami Dolphins have granted Minka Fitzpatrick and his agent, Joel Siegel, permission to seek a trade. So, essentially, that means Minka's agent can talk to any team in the league. And they can work out a trade, and then they can present it to the Miami Dolphins, and the Miami Dolphins can say either yes or no. Or teams can contact, obviously with this news, Minka Fitzpatrick's on the trade block, so teams might even not even go that avenue and just contact the Miami Dolphins directly and see if they can work out a trade for Minka Fitzpatrick. But, you know, I talked about this on the podcast on Wednesday, and, you know, when that report came out after last Sunday's loss to the Ravens, that there were three or four players on the Miami Dolphins who were contacting their agent because they don't want to be in Miami, they want it out. You know, a large chunk, I would say a majority of the Miami Dolphins fan base, you know, got mad at the reporters. And as I said on Wednesday's podcast, don't take out your frustration with this season. Don't take out your frustration with this team. Don't take out your frustration with the owner or front office on the reporters. Reporters aren't making stuff up, okay? I hate to break it to you. I said this on Wednesday. I'm going to say it again now. These reporters, whether it's Mike Florio, Armando Salguero, you know, Omar Kelly, whoever, Adam Beasley, they're not making stuff up. You know, they're not going to risk their job and risk their livelihood and risk how they put food on their family's table to make up a story like this or any story. So don't get mad at the reporters when they put something out that you don't like. You know, you got to be more mature about it. You got to be level-headed about it. And right now, the situation with the Miami Dolphins is a toxic environment. It is not good. This rebuilding process isn't going well, and we're only one game into the regular season. That's a fact, and this story sort of confirms that. Now, you know, I took my guesses last week on who the players might be, who might be unhappy in Miami. I never would have thought it would have been Minka Fitzpatrick. Number one, you know, he's only been in the league for 17 games, and you don't think a guy who's been in the league for one full season and one game, that's 16 games last year and one game this year for 17 games, you know, it takes a little bit of balls to say, I don't want to be here anymore, get rid of me. You know, you've been in the league for literally a cup of coffee, and usually guys who've been in the league for just a cup of coffee, you know, shut the heck up, and they don't say stuff like this. You might see something like this from, you know, like a six-year veteran or an eight-year veteran, get me out of here, I don't want to be. Not from a second-year player who's only played 17 games, so that was a little surprising. I didn't think it'd be Minka. There were some other names I mentioned I thought it might be, but he was not on the list. So that's what's kind of surprising. But overall, let's look at this first. I'm going to break this down in a couple ways. Let's look at this first from Minka Fitzpatrick's viewpoint. You know, Minka Fitzpatrick came out of Alabama, picked number 11 overall in the 2018 draft. And, you know, pretty much a top 10 pick. And, you know, one of the reasons teams were really interested in Minka and teams really coveted him in that draft was because of the versatility. He could play a variety of roles. He could play nickel cornerback. He could play the outside cornerback some. Safeties, he was interchangeable. You know, that's quote-unquote Swiss Army knife type guy who can help you out in a lot of places. He was the guy who was highly intelligent. He was the first one to show up, the last one to leave, broke down film nonstop. And that's why teams loved him. He was a young guy who football came first in his life. One of those guys who just loves the sport. And, you know, the outside stuff with the fancy cars, the bling, the girls. That didn't seem to be, which gets to a lot of young players, didn't seem to be something that was, you know, that would sort of derail a Minka Fitzpatrick with his time in the NFL. And so far, you know, up until Thursday night, Friday morning, that seemed all accurate. But he's not happy and he wants out. And there's a few ways to look at this. What's the real reason? We don't know. But let's speculate a little bit. Number one, his agent, Joel Siegel, is also the same agent for Rashad Jones. So I don't know if that plays anything in here. But Joel, obviously, Rashad Jones, you have the Miami Dolphins. They wanted to move him this offseason, but they couldn't because his contract is pretty much unmovable. No other team is going to absorb that kind of money. So Rashad Jones, and he wasn't even on the field much last week against the Ravens. He's hurt and won't play this week against the Patriots. So, you know, the handwriting's on the wall with Rashad Jones. This is his final year in Miami, and he's going to be on the open market. So if you're Rashad Jones, you know, you're never going to see the rest of that contract. His agent's probably not happy about that. Rashad's not happy about that. So the agent's probably not in a good place right now with the Miami Dolphins organization. But I will say that shouldn't play a factor here because as an agent, you handle each situation differently. And so I don't know if that plays a big factor here, but it could. There could be a little bit of bad blood right now between Joel Siegel and the Dolphins, but I'm not sure if that's actually it, but it is something worth speculating about because you never know. Stuff in this league surprises you all the time, so he does have the same agent as Rashad. What could be a factor is, look, Minka Fitzpatrick came from Alabama, and at Alabama, at most, you're losing one game a year, and he ain't used to losing, okay? So maybe, you know, of course, all offseason, these guys have eyes and ears. They're all on social media. Trust me, they're all on social media. I can say to that firsthand. I won't go any further than that, but they're all on social media. And they read what's going on. They read the papers. They read what people are saying. They watch little video clips. You know, they're hearing tanking, tanking, tanking. And then you go out and lose 59-10. And to a guy like Minka, you know, he's probably, his pride's hurt. He's embarrassed that he's associated with that type of game, this type of franchise that would essentially punt on an entire season. And he's probably like, I don't want to be part of this sinking ship. Get me out of here. So that might be a factor too. The other thing is, you know, in this league, when you're unhappy, it usually means one of two things. And these are the next 2 points. It's usually, A, you're not happy with your money and you want to get paid more. Or B, you just have a shitty attitude. And sorry for swearing. You know, I never viewed someone as Minka as someone who has that, let's just say, crappy attitude. Maybe he does. Maybe he's just, you know, he just playing everyone for a fool. He's a me-first guy. He's a total me-first guy. He's got a bad attitude. And you know what? It's all about me, me, me. And, you know, maybe the signs of that are just starting to come out now. Not saying it's true, just saying could be. Again, we don't know for sure. This is all speculation. I'm throwing out four or five points, brainstorming out loud on what it could be. And it could be about the money. Maybe Minka's like, you know what? If we're going to lose, and we're going to lose them all, and I'm going to be out here looking like a fool, and I'm going to be embarrassed, you know, I don't want to play safety. I want to play cornerback and stop moving me around. Because eventually I'm going to be in store for a new contract and cornerbacks get more paid more than safeties. So if we're going to lose, and I'm going to look like a joke out here with the rest of this team as we go, you know, 1-15, 0-16, whatever this year, and we're going to be a laughing stock, stop moving me around, play me just at cornerback. I'm not playing safety no more. And, you know, you guys are in it for yourself as a team because you're quote unquote tanking on this season by putting out a non-competitive product. Well, I'm in it just for me right now. And I'm looking at my next contract, and I want to get paid. So I'm all done playing safety. Just leave me a cornerback. It could be that. He might be looking at his next contract, and you know, maybe he sort of voiced that to the coaching staff, and they're like, nope, we're going to move you around. You're playing safety. You can play linebacker. You're playing corner, inside corner, outside corner. And he's like, screw this. I want out of here. It could be any variety of reasons. Who knows? I'm sure the... I actually think on this one we will get the true story someday because usually with players talk and they usually talk to the wrong people or maybe his agent will leak it at some point, you know, after he is moved and traded at some point down the road. But, you know, it could be any variety of reason. He just might not be used to losing. He might just be, you know, embarrassed thinking, I'm not going to put my life and limb on the line here for a team that doesn't care if they win this year. It could be anything. But Minka wants out and he doesn't want to be here. Now, one thing we got to clear up. The Miami Dolphins, and I don't believe this for a second either, are saying they're not actively shopping Minkah Fitzpatrick. But they said the same thing about Laremy Tunsil. And, like, I don't know, 48 hours later, Laremy Tunsil was traded to Houston. So I don't take, you know, anything that comes out of the headquarters in Davie, Florida, seriously anymore when it comes to this Miami Dolphins regime, as they have proven with their actions over than words. We see, I've been saying it now for a couple weeks, actions speak louder than words. Miami Dolphins can say, we're not actively shopping Minkah Fitzpatrick. Clearly they are, if they gave him permission to seek a trade. So I don't believe when they say they're not actively shopping him and they're content holding on to them, because that's all the same stuff they said about Tunsil, and literally 48 hours later, Tunsil's gone. Okay, he's out the door. See you later. And, you know, they got a nice return for Tunsil. I'm not saying they didn't, but what they said and what they ended up doing were two different things. So take that with a grain of salt. When it comes to Minkah, you know, when the guy wants out and you've given him permission to seek a trade, I don't care if he practiced on Friday or not. I do not see how you can play him in a real game on Sunday. It makes no sense. Now, I know they're already down Rashad Jones, like I said, he's out for this game against New England. But let's be honest, whether Minkah Fitzpatrick plays or not, this team's going to get their doors blown off by Tom Brady and the Patriots, so it really doesn't matter. So maybe they give up, you know, 48 points compared to 60 points if he does, but who cares? It's a loss. So if the guy doesn't want to be here and is saying he wants out, trade me, I don't know how you suit him up and you play him. I think, one, that's very disrespectful to the other guys on the roster, even if the other guys on the roster aren't any good. You know, as a person, as a man, as a human being, that's disrespectful that this guy who doesn't want to be here, you're going to just roll him out there and play him. And number two, if you are open to trading him, if you are listening to offers, which they are, if they're listening to offers, you can't risk him getting hurt. Because if he goes out there and gets hurt and he has to miss the rest of the year, then you're just going to have to kick the can down the road and try and trade him in the offseason, and now he's coming off an injury. So any value he has just becomes lessened. So I don't know how you play him Sunday against New England. I think, if it were me, I think Saturday is going to be a very telling day when it comes to this story. So keep checking social media. Keep checking our website, DolphinsTalk.com, all throughout Saturday. Because I got a feeling a big news story is going to break here. I mean, I don't know. Nobody, I have no sources. Nobody leaked anything to him. It's just my gut. I think something big's going to happen Saturday with this story. And if it were me, you know, by Sunday morning at 10 a.m., if I'm the Miami Dolphins, they have to announce either A, he's inactive for the game, we're not playing him this week, or if they are playing him, then I think they have to come out and then say, we're not trading him under any circumstances. He is going to stay with it as a member of the Miami Dolphins, period. That's the only way you put him on the field Sunday, and if he doesn't like it, too damn bad. Because that's the next part of this. Chris Greer, in my opinion, you know, I was and I still am on board with this whole, and I call it the tank job. You want to call it a rebuild job, call it what you want. Don't get your panties in a bunch. Everyone's got their own phrase. I call it a tank job because that's what it is to me. They have put together a roster that would struggle to win games in the AAF or the XFL. They really have. This roster is beyond horrid. Yes, Xavier Howard can play. Minkah Fitzpatrick can play. Jerome Baker seems to be okay as a player, sort of an ascending player. You know, outside of those three, on offense, you know, not much there, really. You know, this is an AAF XFL roster. You can take a bunch of, when the AAF folded, you can take a bunch of those guys, put together an all-star team, and this is what you get right here, because this team is on that level of bad, and I'm okay with it. And I am actually okay. If they go 0-16, I'm okay with that, too, because if you're going to tank, you might as well do it right. And you might as well get the quarterback of your choice. Why, you know, win two or three or four games and possibly pick second or third, which then, A, you have to part with everything to try and move up in the draft when you're going to go through this hell of the 2019 season, or B, one of the teams that's picking higher than you ain't going to move, so now you're not even getting your first choice of quarterback. You're going to get your second or third. Why even go through it? If you're going to tank, tank right. Just lose them all at this point. Who the hell cares? Because this this roster, it's, you know, when I hear some people say, well, we're going to play the young guys to sort of develop them. You know, the young guys on this roster are the guys they took in last year's draft, the Michael Dieters, Andrew Van Ginkle, who else? You know, those types of guys that they took in the draft. And, You know, those guys, yes, they can develop this year, and they're going to be part of the future. You know, most of the guys, though, the undrafted rookie free agents, they're not going to be here in a year. Don't kid yourself. They're undrafted rookie free agents for a reason. They're not going to be here in a year. Next year, when the Miami Dolphins sign free agents, those undrafted rookie free agents are out the door. Next year, you're going to draft, you'll probably have a draft class of anywhere between 8 to 10 guys. You know, I would say 8 to 10 guys are going to make the team. All those undrafted rookie free agents are going to be out the door. They're holding on to these undrafted rookie free agents to hopefully find one who might stick past this year. Maybe two, if you're really lucky. And just to sort of fill out the roster, because that's what this year is, guys. You know, Chris Greer, Flores, they can say it's not. But again, actions speak louder than words. And, you know, I know some people in the media, and once again, I say this all the time, Orlando, Alzogary, the Big O, we agree on like 99% of things, and I love the guy. He's been a great friend of this podcast and this website. But where one area where we don't see eye to eye is, you know, when I talk about, you know, when they released, and I know they just re-signed Tank Carradine, but when they released him that last week of August, Tank Carradine, Nate Orchard, Hakeem Spence, they didn't release those guys to save money, okay? They didn't. That's not like we got to get rid of them because they're taking up so much of the cap. No. And the guys they replaced them with are just not, were lesser players. If they replaced them with guys who were as good or slightly better, you can live with it. But they replaced them with guys who don't belong in the NFL. And if, you know, you can lie to the fans, you can lie to the media. You cannot lie to the locker room because the players know. Minka Fitzpatrick knows. And he saw what happened that final week of August. And it's like you're cutting these guys. Look, our team's not going to be any good anyways. And those guys aren't going to help us win any games. Like I said, if those three guys, or let's say four guys, Vincent Taylor, Hakeem Spence, Tank Carradine, Nate Orchard, if they played against the Ravens, all four of them, they're still going to lose. Maybe they don't lose 59-10. Maybe they lose 52-10. So they're not going to help you win games. They're not going to sort of screw up your tanking. And they're not going to eat up your salary cap. You're just getting rid of them because, I don't know, you just want to, you really want to lose this year. And you want to leave no stone unturned. And you took those guys out of Miami and replaced them with lesser players. And the players in the locker room probably saw that and go, you know what? This is going too far. And I think they took the rebuild to an extreme. Those guys were not going to hurt you salary cap-wise. They were not going to, they would have just made the on-field product, you know, slightly more respectable. And I think when they did those moves, it's like, why? I understand when you run off Wake, Gore, Tannehill, Quinn, Branch, Alonzo, TJ McDonald. I get it. Those guys, you know, have a little bit of a resume and they would help you win games. But those, Tank Carradine, Nate Orchard, they're not going to help you win games. Nate Orchard ain't going to help you win a game. Vincent Taylor, you know, and the one that really annoyed me about Vincent Taylor is you got this head coach who's a quote-unquote defensive guru, a defensive genius. Vince Taylor doesn't fit the scheme. Well, you know what? You didn't have to cut him in August either. Let's, you know, coach him up a little bit. Let's put him in a spot to where maybe he can succeed in the scheme. You know, let's tweak the scheme a little bit maybe, and let's try and make it work. And if it's not working, come, you know, the first week of October, cut him then! Cut him then! It's like they didn't have to cut him now. Again, he's not making any money. He was a sixth-round pick on a rookie contract. He's not making any money. But, you know, whatever. So I think that plays a big part of it. I think these players are like, they're saying we're not tanking, but clearly we are, and you're lying to me, and you're playing me out of all these positions. You know, there was a tweet from Minka Fitzpatrick's mom. You know, she wasn't happy when in training camp, one of the reporters, Omar Kelly, put something out. And, you know, she lashed out at Omar. You know, my son's being misused because they're putting him all over because, you know, to help, because they have to help other players play certain spots. And they're not putting my son in the best spot. This seems to be a long time coming. When you got your mom out there for you on social media, sort of attacking the organization and reporters, not a good sign. I know that was a while ago, but we probably should have saw the handwriting on the wall then. Not a good sign. Now, I spoke about this from Minka's standpoint. Let's talk about this from a Brian Flores standpoint. Because Brian Flores right now, look, the guy's coached one real game in the NFL, and he's off to a rough start as a rookie head coach. This is as bad a start for a rookie head coach as I've ever seen. And I've been watching NFL football for close to 40 years now. I mean, this is as bad a start for a rookie head coach as there is. You know, you got Brian Flores, comes from New England, and, you know, we heard, well, he's not like the other guys who come out of New England and get head coaching jobs. He's not like, you know, Romeo Crennel or Charlie Weiss or McDaniels or Bill O'Brien. Flores is caught from a different cloth. He's his own man. He's not going to pretend to be a mini Bill Belichick. That's not him. Guess what? So far, Brian Flores is coming off like a mini Bill Belichick. But like the rest of those guys, he doesn't have the resume to back it up. So you can't act like a mini Bill Belichick when you have nothing on your resume to back it up. The first thing, I mean, he's done a lot of things wrong, Flores, I think. And I'm really not that impressed with him. I know it's one game. I'm not calling for him to be fired. I'm just saying he better, you know, at least win over the locker room quick, right the ship, and stop this crap of guys asking to go quickly, or else this is going to cave in on him really fast. Number one, the whole issue with Stills, when he was quote-unquote trolling him, playing the Jay-Z music in practice, that's just low class. It's just low class. And I know he went to the media, and he sort of, you know, spoke to the media, oh, I support Kenny Stills, and I support the guys taking a knee. You know, that's just spin. At that point, Flores was just putting on a spin to make himself look better in a better light. The thing with Stills, love him or hate him, you know, he was standing up for something. You don't have to agree with it. You can think, you know, he's a jerk for doing it. Whatever. I'm not going to talk about the politics aspect of this. But for a head coach to sort of troll him in practice in front of the whole team by playing that Jay-Z song when Stills was sort of having a mini war word with Jay-Z, I mean, for a head coach to do that, just comes off as low rent, low class. Like, what are you doing? That's not something a head coach does. And that was the first red flag with him. The second one, you know, the quarterback decision. I've said this a million times all offseason. Flores has been saying, you know, the best guy's going to win. The best guy's going to win. We saw in preseason, anybody with two eyes who knows, you know, a lick about NFL football, you don't need to be Ron Jaworski breaking down films at the NFL Films studio to know Josh Rosen outplayed Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, six ways to Sunday. And, of course, Flores goes back on his word. I'm going to start Ryan Fitzpatrick. So, you know, once again, actions speak louder than words. You're lying to the team there, too. So he went against his words there. You know, 59-10 last week. You know, if you're going to act this way, you better at least not lose 59-10. That doesn't help him there. And, you know, when he talks to the media, this one's sort of a double-edged sword with Flores. You know, he's night and day way better than Adam Gase. Adam Gase would just, you know, get his little panties in a bunch and start screaming at the media sometimes, getting the high pitch. I can't believe you guys are doing this. You know, and acting like a child. Flores, you know, is mild-mannered. He really doesn't raise his voice much, but he does get a little arrogant at times. He does get on his soapbox at times. And, you know, he gets that condescending tone in his voice, which, again, it's fine if you got a resume to back it up. It's fine. When you don't got the resume to back it up, humble yourself a little bit there, son. Humble yourself because, you know, answer the questions or don't. I'm not saying, you know, the one thing with Gase, you know, is too stupid. And I do say the word stupid to tap dance around a question. To know you don't have to answer every question. It's just like a politician. If they ask you about healthcare, you start talking about immigration if you don't want to talk about healthcare. That's just the way you do it. So if you're asked something you don't want to answer, just change a topic because you don't have to answer it. With Flores, he understands it. He's a little bit more media savvy in that way, and I love it. Because that's the way a head coach should be. But, you know, lose the condescending tone. Lose the arrogance a little bit at times. Because you haven't really earned that right. So, it's a double-edged sword there. And the other part with Flores here, with this Mika situation. You know, for a rookie head coach, for any head coach. You know, especially these days. This ain't back in 1975. This ain't, you know, 1982, 1983, 1988, even the early 90s. You know, you're dealing with a different type of modern athlete. The modern athlete today, you know, has social media at their disposal. They're concerned about their Madden rating on video games. It's a different type of athlete. They're getting paid more money than they ever have been. And managing personalities is a big part of the deal. How you manage the locker room, how you manage, you know, these guys' personalities, because these guys have more at their disposal at a younger age than the NFL athletes of the 70s and 80s and even the 90s, like I said. And if Brian Flores can't manage the personalities in the locker room, especially a mild-mannered Minka Fitzpatrick, which, let's be honest, up until just, 24 hours ago or so, we all thought this is a mild-mannered, quiet guy who just goes about his work. If Brian Flores can't manage that personality, if he can't work with that personality, that's a bad sign. That's a real bad sign, because if you can't work with the easiest guy in the room, how are you going to work with guys who are a little bit more challenging? And that's a red flag that would concern me a lot if I am the Miami Dolphins brass, if I'm the owner, Stephen Ross. That would concern me a lot right there, because that's not a good sign. That's not a good sign. With Adam Gase, anytime he couldn't get along with a player, whether it was Jay Ajayi, Jarvis Landry, whoever, he would just trade him, get rid of him. You can't do that in this league. You can't do that. You have to find a way to make it work. Minka Fitzpatrick was drafted literally 1 year ago, 2018, pick number 11. You cannot just get rid of him because, he says, I don't want to be here no more. They should have shut this down immediately, saying, Minka, we understand your frustration. We'll take everything you're saying into account. We're not going to trade you or release you. End of story. You cannot cave every time a player says, I want out of town. That sets a bad precedent because you're just opening up the floodgates. Because now everyone thinks they can just walk all over your head coach and GM. And you have a head coach who can't work with talented players. We just went through this with Adam Gase. Now we're going to go through it again with Brian Flores? I mean, it makes your head explode. It literally makes your head explode that you can't just run off talented players you don't get along with. That's not how you win in this league. And if you can't get along with, like I said, a mild-mannered Minka Fitzpatrick, there's an issue with you. Look yourself in the mirror. Say, what am I doing wrong? I don't know. This is, and again, I'm not saying you got to fire Flores or get rid of him. I'm saying he, right now, as of September 14th, with everything that's happening, with the 59-10 loss, this Minka story, and news that other players in the locker room want out too. They just haven't gone public yet, which I'm sure once Minka is traded or let go, they're going to go public ASAP because they want to get the hell out of here, clearly. Who those players are, no idea. They're going to want, you're going to set a bad precedent, and you're going to pretty much undercut yourself as a head coach. And Brian Flores right now has a small window to sort of nip this in the bud. Again, if I'm the Dolphins, I just Saturday or even Sunday prior to the game, release a statement. We're not trading Minka Fitzpatrick. One sentence, that's it. We won't trade Minka Fitzpatrick, and leave it at that, because you have to, look, this is a rebuild. The Laremy Tunsil trade I wasn't on board for, but I can live with it because you got two first-round picks in the second. I still wouldn't have done it because a young, cheap left tackle who plays at that level, you might not get someone like that for another 10 years, okay? So I don't care how many first-round picks they're going to give you. I'd rather have the player. That's me. Whatever. They made the trade. This one with Minka makes absolutely... I mean, this guy was just drafted last year. You have control of him for four more years at a cheap contract. And why would you get rid of him now? I have no idea. And why they're entertaining this, I have no idea. Only the Miami Dolphins can take a guy who was picked number 11, a borderline top 10 pick, and they'll probably trade him away for a second rounder and turn a top 10 pick into a second rounder in literally, 12 months or so, roughly, whatever it is. I mean, it makes zero sense on any level. Only the Dolphins, folks. Only the Dolphins. I'm on board with the tank job. I have no problem with it. But you can't cave every time a player puts out a demand. And you can't, say, okay, you don't want to be here, so we're going to, let you go. Or you can talk to other teams, work out a trade, and we'll let you go. I mean, that's not how you run things. That's not how you're going to win in this league. That's not how you're going to win in this league. And I will say, and again, I have no sources on this. I've heard rumblings. Let's just say it that way. That the two teams who are contacting Miami the most and are putting not the full court press, but let's just say, I don't want to overstate this, just to say, are showing the most interest in Minka are the Cowboys, which there was a reporter from Dallas who had that story, saying that the Cowboys have actually already contacted Miami about Minkah, and also the Kansas City Chiefs. Those are the two teams showing the most interest right now. Does that mean he's getting traded there? No. I'm just saying, as of right now, the time I am recording this, those are the two teams that are showing the most interest. We'll see if anything comes out of it. I'm sure another team could come out of left field and make a move, some sort of great offer. But again, if I'm the Dolphins, I have no idea how you play this guy Sunday. He doesn't want to be here. He's publicly. And if you're Minkah Fitzpatrick, another, once again, sorry for swearing, another bitch move is, you know, Sunday after the game, you contact your agent behind the scenes saying, get me out of here. And then your agent and the team, you know, go public on, you know, Thursday night, Friday morning saying, you know, we have permission to seek a trade. And clearly you want out of here. You can't go to the media at that point and say, I'm not talking about it. You know, either don't talk to the media saying, he goes to the media Friday and goes, I'm not talking about it. I just want to talk about this week's game. I hate to break it to you, buddy. Nobody wants to talk to you about this week's game. And, you know, you can't be pulling strings behind the scenes, behind everyone's back, and then not talk to the media about it. Either don't talk to the media at all. Just shut up and say, I'm not talking today, guys. Or you talk about the situation, because that's a bitch move by Minkah. It really was a bitch move. And, you know, talk to the media. Talk to the media. He's handling this very poorly, and the Miami Dolphins are handling this very poorly. And as always, the organization's coming off looking like a joke, which has been looking like a joke for 20 years. So why should today be any different? Or why should yesterday have been any different? It just is what it is. It is what it is. You know, I love this team. I've been a fan of this team my whole life. It's frustrating at times. It's so frustrating at times. The Tunsil thing, really got my blood boiling. I'm like, what are they thinking? Whatever. You know, we've had a few weeks since then. Live with the draft picks. Whatever. This one makes absolutely zero sense on any level. The fact they're and, you know, I hinted at this point, I will say right now, Sunday night post-game wrap-up show with Tom, 59-10. And I go, you know what? You can lose in this league. The problem is not the losing. Nobody expected Brian Flores to win much this year. You can lose. Losing 59-10, though, you know, you don't see that often in this league with paid professionals. Can't have many more Sundays like that, I said. And I hinted at it, and now I'm doing more than hinting at it. I'm just flat out saying it. You know, Chris Greer and Brian Flores might have started this whole rebuild and done all the heavy lifting, running off guys, trading Tunsil to get those extra picks. Just did all the heavy lifting, made all these moves to stockpile all these draft picks, all the salary cap space. They might have started this rebuild. They might not be around to reap the benefits of it. And read into that what you want, because, you know, they're taking this rebuild to an extreme. To an extreme it doesn't need to go to. How many draft picks do you need? You know, how much salary cap space do you need? You can't do it to the extent that you're fielding a legit. I mean, they were non-competitive last week, and if they trade Minkah, it's only going to get worse. I mean, are they going to go out there for the next 15 Sundays and give up 60 points every week? You know, I mean, that's what it's looking like. I mean, you stripped this roster down to next to nothing. Next to nothing. Worse than an expansion team. I've been saying all summer this is going to be an expansion-like type season. This is worse than an expansion team, because at least with expansion teams, you got a few veterans who can sort of keep it from being totally embarrassing. You start trading off the young, talented players who you drafted and you have control of. I mean, what's left? I mean, what is left? I mean, they're going to have to bring back Nick Needham if they move on from Fitzpatrick. And Nick Needham was getting burnt by guys who aren't even in the league anymore all the preseason. That's bad. That's really, really bad. And you know, the ripple effect from this season, you know, people think, oh, they're only going to be bad for like 1 or 2 years. Then they're going to be good come 2021, 2022. They're going to run off their fan base. They're going to become a joke around the league where no free agent is going to want to go. They're going to have to overpay every free agent to come to Miami because it's going to be toxic. It already is toxic. And then with the draft, you can have pick number one. Players are going to be like, I ain't playing there. I mean, and you got to think with Minkah Fitzpatrick, he played with Tua. He's from Alabama. You don't think those guys talk? I mean, come on. And if one of these other guys who's trying to get out happens to be Drake, another guy from Alabama. And if they do move on from him after this year or at some point in season, or if he's one of these guys who right now is talking to his agent saying, get me out of here, you got Fitzpatrick and Drake, both Alabama guys. You don't think they're going to tell Tua, don't go there. You know, either head back to school or have your agent play hardball saying, I ain't going there. This is going to have ripple effects for years to come. Again, on board with a rebuild, on board with a tank. I didn't think it could take it to this extreme. They went too far with it. And this Minka Fitzpatrick story, we'll see how it plays out. We'll see where it goes here in the next day or two or week. But there's a lot to talk about here because this is not a way to run an NFL franchise. And I know you can't keep doing the same thing over and over again. We were stuck in that rut for 20 years of 6, 7, 8 wins, 9 wins. Some years a few less. Some years maybe get lucky, sneak into a playoff. Essentially, they were stuck in a rut and they had to do things differently. I'm on board for doing it differently. I'm on board for a tank job. But I think, like most Dolphins fans, they've taken it too far. They've taken it way too far. And it's at a point now where I'm not sure. It sounds like the team and even maybe the coaching staff has sort of lost the locker room with at least the guys that you wanted to keep around. I don't care if they piss off, Smythe. I don't care if they piss off, Jamal Wiltz. I don't care. But when you're pissing off guys like Minka Fitzpatrick, that's a bad sign. Because those are the guys you need to be here this year and the next 3 or 4 years to be part of the rebuild. You can't say the word rebuild anymore because rebuild means there's something to build around. There's nothing to build around right now. This is like, somebody buying a franchise and starting it from scratch because there's nothing there to build around. And if they run off Minka, it's going to be real ugly for the next 15 Miami Dolphins games. I mean, as ugly can be. So that's all for this special Saturday show. Tom and myself will be back, Sunday night for the post-game wrap-up show. That show usually drops later Sunday, anytime after 9 p.m. And, of course, we run it all day Monday as well. So look for Tom and myself to be talking about the Patriots game. Don't have high hopes for it. Just hoping that they play hard and it's more respectable than last week's game. We'll see. As always, for the latest news, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Dolphins Talk and keep checking the website, dolphinstalk.com. We got a bunch of new articles up, a bunch of new podcasts. Check it all out for all the latest news. And as always, if you want to email me, dolphinstalk1977@gmail.com. So that's all for today's show. Thank you all for listening. Have a great Saturday, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.